I better hush. Brother Phil Skipper, come on up here and preach for us.
Amen, preacher. Well, praise the Lord. Thanks, sir. Bless you. Yes, sir. Let me move this fancy microphone back just a little bit. And, man, I appreciate the good music we've enjoyed tonight. Amen. And in the spirit of the day, in a stunning turn of events, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have both become members of the NRA. Man, you'll get that after a while. Amen. I heard a good banjo joke. Y'all want to hear a good banjo joke? Where's the banjo player? Where'd your dad go? Back there doing what bands do, I guess, right? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? I was going to tell a banjo joke. He already heard. I told him yesterday. I wanted your dad to hear it. He's probably out catching the smoke outside. But I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. You know what the difference between cutting up an onion and cutting up a banjo is? Nobody cries when you cut up a banjo. Amen. Amen. I like banjo music. I mean, I just said it was a joke. It's just funny. Amen. So I don't throw stuff up here unless it's got pictures of dead presidents on it. Amen. Then you throw all those you want. But I had the occasion today to spend some time with some folks that I don't normally get to spend time with. And it was an unexpected blessing. And we live in a day that so many folks that walk in the doors of a church, or really walk in the doors anywhere, we can cover up a lot of stuff and a lot of burdens and a lot of heartaches. Amen. And put a smile on our face and act like everything's okay when inside our whole world is falling apart. And I remember when I was a child, they didn't used to have news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They used to have news at 6 o'clock at night. And Walter Cronkite or somebody of that stature would report the news. Didn't tell you what to think about the news. Didn't have a panel of 15 people to tell you how that ought to scare you and what things you ought to do to safeguard in the event that something happened. But with the advent of 24-hour news coverage comes the necessity of filling 24 hours with stuff to scare you. And I don't know about you, but it seems like to me that we live in a day where more people are filled with anxiety and fear and worry than in any other time in the history of mankind. I mean, good night. If you're not worried about, amen, the ozone layer depleting, if you're not worried about, amen, cows affecting our, amen. I mean, it's crazy the stuff that they're trying to scare us to death about. Amen. And yet cows have been doing what they've been doing ever since cows have been around on the earth. I don't know how in the world, Noah got along with all them with those cows on the ark that were doing what cows do and what animals do when they consume things and there are byproducts put off. Amen. They're in a small confined space. Somehow they managed. Amen. I'm just saying that there's, you know, people try to scare us about global warming. I'd vote for that right now. Somebody say amen. Ought to be at least 40 degrees warmer around here, amen. Or at least 30 degrees warmer this time of year. Man, it's cold up in here. And people trying to scare us about what's going to happen, you know, if we build a wall or if we don't build a wall, and you know, what's going to happen if we do this or do that or whatever decisions we make. And ladies and gentlemen, can I just say this? There is somebody behind. There's the banjo player. And I told a good joke, and you weren't here to hear it. And so you'll just have to ask your son. And we got so much that's on our minds and so much that we worry about. And the world has produced means to deal with those things. But tonight we've chosen to be in church. I don't know what burden you've got. I don't know what heartache you're carrying. And can I say this tonight? We're not here to compare burdens. Amen? Because whatever burden you got's big to you. And the burden that somebody else got's big to them. And so we're not to compare burdens and figure out who's carrying the most or whose is the most dire. But you know, the world has devised means and methods to deal with burdens. A lot of people will find themselves down at a local watering hole. And you do know that alcohol is a great solvent. Dissolves marriages, dissolves relationships. It dissolves hopes and dreams. But the one thing it will not dissolve is your problems. Amen. We live in a culture that, amen, they have created and synthesized all kind of drugs and substances to try to blur your mind and try to get you for just a little while to check out of your problem. I don't know the terminology they use anymore because it's been a long time since I've been in that culture, thank the Lord. But they used to call it, when I was a young'un, they used to call it going on a trip. And when you go on a trip, Brother Phil, you check out of your normal life. Amen. And you go somewhere where your cares and your burdens aren't. The problem is, after a trip, you come back to the same cares and burdens you had before you left. And usually they're bigger and closer and have multiplied the time you're gone. And yet the world looks, I always find it humorous, ladies and gentlemen, when the world looks at us and they use this description to try to categorize how we live. So, well, that's just a crutch. But what's your crutch? Listen, I remember prior to getting saved, and it's funny, as your family gets older, the gatherings happen at a funeral home. Amen. And I always wondered as a young person, why after the funeral was over, we'd gather together at some kind of hall or some kind of a location, and they'd have some kind of a meal, and then they'd have a bunch of alcohol there. And that is because the world doesn't know how to cope with trouble. Amen. Doesn't mean you don't have trouble in the world. Everybody's got trouble. Amen. Everybody has hopes and dreams for their children and their grandchildren. Boy, those of us got a little gray in our hair and now have been, amen, our name has been, amen, added to. You know, when you first got married, you were just a husband or a wife, along with being a son or a daughter. And then the children came along and that added another title to you, and it was dad or mom. And then those kids start having kids, and then it's either grandma or grandpa or mama and papa or, amen, ma and pa or whatever the, amen, term of endearment that you have. But you know what I've realized? I've realized, ladies and gentlemen, with each new title that you get comes more burdens. I want you to turn in your Bible. I already said we're in 1 Peter chapter 5, but I want you to hold your place there and go to Philippians chapter 4 quickly. Philippians chapter 4. Appreciate you preachers that have come tonight. and you visitors that are here. And it was an encouragement to my heart as I was sitting out there in her house that's got wheels on it. Amen. And started watching the parking lot fill up. That's a blessing. Amen. And you always, listen, you preach to who's there. But boy, it's good when people on a Monday night decide to come to church. I want to thank you folks for coming. I know there's a lot of other things you could have chosen to do with your evening. But look at verse number 6, Philippians chapter 4. The Bible said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now let me just say, and I'm going to read the text out of 1 Peter chapter 5 in just a moment. That word careful is the idea of being full of care. It's not talking about being cautious, although that does carry that meaning. But it means allowing the cares of this life to fill you. Allowing the cares of this life to overwhelm you. And I don't know how some of y'all are. I wrestle in my own spirit, ladies and gentlemen, because you'd think the older that we get, Brother Gabbard, the longer we've been walking with the Lord, the more experience we've had and the more times we've watched Him in the midnight hour at the 11th hour come to our rescue, you'd think that would establish in our minds a pattern that, amen, that He's going to do the same thing. But it seems like the older I get, the more I worry. Am I alone in that? Am I the only one that's going to admit my carnality? I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to tell you, it seems like the older we get, the more our minds are troubled. The more you pillow your head and you try to sleep and you just watch the clock tick by at 5-minute increments. Amen? I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and when you found verse number 7, if you can and are physically able, let me ask you to join us by standing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. The Bible said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We'll stop reading right there. Father, bless now the reading and the preaching of Your word. Thank You for the music that has gladdened our heart. God, the music that has prepared our hearts and our minds for the preaching of Your word. And Father, I ask now tonight that as I endeavor to preach that which You have placed upon my heart, Father, help me to handle the scripture carefully. And God, I pray that You'd take Your word, and God, You would deliver it powerfully to the hearts, the minds, the lives of those that have gathered together tonight in this auditorium. Speak to us from Your word. And Father, for that we'll thank You and we'll praise You. In Jesus' name we pray, and we wrap this prayer in expectation. Amen. You can be seated. I find in these verses tonight a cure for care. The word care is an interesting word. It means concern or anxiety. It means some degree of pain in the mind from apprehension of evil. It describes being cautious or looking to or with regard or attention to something. Amen. The word anxious is also a synonym meaning to be greatly concerned or respecting something in the future or something unknown, to be in painful suspense. This was an interesting definition I found of the word anxious. It means to be unquiet. It's an interesting term, unquiet. You're not settled. You're not calm. You can't stop those voices in your head. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say this tonight? We find another word that is often used in as a synonym, as a word to replace the word care or anxious, and that is the word worry. Back during the Holocaust that took place in World War II, there was a Dutch gal by the name of Corrie ten Boom that was instrumental in helping many of those Jewish people escape the horrors of the concentration camps and ultimately the gas chambers. Corrie ten Boom, in one of her writings, penned these words, and she said, and I quote, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." Ladies and gentlemen, I noticed in this text tonight that is before us a cure for our cares. And I'm glad God did not leave us without some instruction, amen, and without a prescription on how to deal with the cares of this life. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what station of life you're in, what stage of life you're in. It does not matter where you live or, amen, what your occupation is. You are going to deal with the cares of this life. Sometimes there are things that you can see coming a long way off. Couldn't help but think as y'all were singing and Jeremiah was singing that song, The Prodigal Son. And man, I've thought of that story an awful lot. There's an interesting aspect to that story, and I cannot prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt, but I think I've got pretty good basis for what I'm about to share with you that I believe. You see, the Bible tells us and indicates to us, Brother Gabbard, that that boy left home because of himself. Amen? He was interested about what was out there in the world. He was tired of being on the family farm. He wanted to see the bright lights and the big city. And every traveler that came back from that way never really tells you the truth about what's out there. Because they don't want to admit how dumb they are and how it tricked them. And so they begin to tell you about all the wonders. So that boy gets down there in the far country and he spent all that he has. And he joins himself. And he, listen, I don't know if you've ever considered this, but the indication of the text is this is a Jewish boy. What's he end up doing? He's feeding pigs. He's feeding an animal that a Jew won't touch. In fact, the interesting thing is, Brother Jeff, his situation has become so dire that as he's feeding the hogs, he looks at what the hogs are eating. And he concludes that that wouldn't be a bad meal for him. He's so hungry. Now listen, I told you they sang about a country preacher, which I'm not. And I don't apologize for that. I've never slopped a hog. Amen. I've never milked a cow. If I can get through the church age without doing those two things, I'll consider myself a blessed individual. But I know people, Brother Bruns, that have kept hogs. Hogs don't eat out of a trough. Hogs eat off the ground. Hogs also do other things on the ground. Amen. The byproduct of what hogs eat winds up on the ground. Amen. And they walk in it and they mess in it and they lay in it and they roll in it. And that boy is so hungry, Brother Gabbard, that he's looking at the husks that the swine did eat And he's thinking, man, I'm hungry. And then he has something that happened that happens to most everybody that has gone out there in the world and comes back to the Lord. He comes to himself. You see, he left home because of himself, but he went back home because of his father. Amen. Because he knew his father would still be there. Amen. You see, religion says, I've messed up. I can't tell my dad. But Christianity says, I've messed up. I need to go tell my dad. Amen. Amen. And I got to thinking about that boy, and he's down there, and he said, I will arise and go to my father. Now, if you know the story there in Luke chapter 15, you know the Bible says that while he was yet a long way off. So I've got in my mind the picture of a typical town, a typical community that would have been, amen, in existence at that time. And ladies and gentlemen, all the businessmen did not meet down at the reservation to talk about, amen, how things were going to go in the community. They all met at the city gate. All the elders of the city met at the city gate. And I'm just in my mind, Brother Holt got a picture of that dad, and he's looking out past that city gate on that long road that his boy walked out some time ago, and he sees somebody coming back. He's headed back toward the city, and all of a sudden he recognizes that walk, and he recognizes, although, amen, some things have been changed, and although he's not walking with his head up like he did when he left, he's walking with his head down, but he recognizes that's his boy, and he leaves where he's at, and he runs out past those city elders, and he joins himself to his boy, because he does not want his boy to have to walk back in that city and answer all those questions by himself. You see, I'm kind of thinking as people drive past this church on Highway 50, they look at all the cars up here on a Monday night. It's daunting to pull in the parking lot and walk in those doors by themselves. A whole lot easier if somebody comes in with you. Amen. At the end of the day, y'all, that's what we're supposed to do, is help broken people, help hurting people. Let me give you three things quickly, and I'll be done. I'll preach these as fast as I can. Look at verse number 7. I want you to notice the Bible said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is not going to be the most homiletically perfect message, but let me give you the first point, and that is to send your worry to God. Can I say this? There is a deliberate occupation. I want you to notice what the Bible said. The first word of verse number 7 is casting. That word carries with it a continual motion. Amen. It's something you do over and over and over and over and over. Why? Because when you cast it, we have a tendency to pull it back. Amen. And we cast it again, and we have a tendency to pull it back. And then some other cares come along our way. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to consistently and consciously cast our cares upon him. I want you to notice this. Not only does it say casting, but notice that next word. It's the word all. You know what that word all means in the Greek? It means all. Amen. It means every last care you've got. Amen. That not only are we to cast them consistently, but can I say we're to cast our cares, amen, completely. I listen, every care. Boy, aren't you glad to know tonight that you do not have a care that is too small for the Lord to carry for you, amen. There's not one. Listen, I remember when we were all younger, amen, and you had your first crush, amen, in grade school or junior high school, and the adults around you would characterize that, Brother Greg, as puppy love. Do you know what I realize, Brandy? It might be puppy love, but it's real to the puppy. Yeah. Amen.
I'm just telling you, hey, when that thing doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to or the way you hoped and your heart's broken in a million pieces, can I just remind you, Daniel, hey, you've got a God that cares about your needs. Hey, he said casting all our care upon him. Well, I'm glad there is somebody, amen, who opened his arms up wide, Brother Bronze, and said, we can cast every single solitary care we've ever had or ever will have. We can cast them on him. It sure beats casting them on Facebook. Beats the mess out of casting them on Snapchat. Amen. I'm just saying, hey, I'm glad we've got a God, Brother Holt, that said he was willing to take my care, that I could cast them all on him. Got any cares tonight? Got anything that's kept you laying awake? Watching that clock at 5-minute increments? Hey, man, you tried counting sheep. Amen. And you came to the conclusion that didn't help you, and that's why shepherds never were recorded falling asleep, because it don't work. Amen. And you've tried, and man, you've taken melatonin, and you've tried all the kind of, hey, you know what I learned? I learned you can go down to the CVS or to the Walgreens or to the Walmart, and you can buy a bottle of sleep, but you can't buy rest. Amen. Or you can make something where, hey man, your body and your mind will, or your body physically will go unconscious. How about your mind still runs? Amen. That's why you can, sleep 7-8 hours and wake up the next morning and feel like all you did was got beat with a tired stick all night. Amen. Because you can't get that thing up in here to shut off. Oh, but listen. What a great resource we have. So the question tonight is, first of all, if he welcomed us to cast all our cares upon him, this is as close to country as I'm going to get, why come aren't we? Amen. I mean, if he said we could cast all our cares upon him, all our burdens, all our heartaches, amen, those things, amen, that cause us, sis, amen, to worry and wonder, amen, we've tried, and man, we begged and we pleaded with our family, amen, and nothing turns around. Hey, I'm glad there's a God that is willing to take those things. Notice this. He said, casting all your care. I said there's a deliberate occupation, that's casting all. But I'm glad to report to you tonight, there's a divine destination on him. Amen. Hey, you might cast your cares on somebody. They don't think you know anybody they know. And so they tell somebody else, and somebody gets on Facebook. Amen. And says, hey, do you know anything about this and that and the other? And all of a sudden you realize you cast that care in the wrong place. Yeah. Amen. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, can I say this? Once you cast it on him, he is never going to bring it back up again. Amen. He's not going to remind you. He's not going to, I talked about puppies. If you've ever trained one, well, that's an exercise in futility. Amen. But if you've ever trained one, when they mess on the carpet, amen. I almost said pee behind the pulpit. I'll say it not behind the pulpit. Amen. Not that it's going to make it any better. But when they pee on the carpet, you take that dog and rub their nose in it. Amen. So they know not to do that. So they don't repeat that process. Well, I'm telling you, I've never had God one time rub my nose in it. Well, I've had a lot of the brethren. Amen. I've had a lot of church folk. Because they don't think God did a good enough job. Amen.
We see a deliberate occupation. We see a delightful, a divine destination. Let me give you the last thing out of this verse. We see a delightful explanation. He careth for you. You. Brother Jeff said tonight when he's singing, we had a couple of folk here last night that raised their hands indicating that they did not know the Lord. They were not sure that they had a place in heaven and that their name was written on heaven's roll book. Can I say to you tonight, he cares for you. He cares for you. You see, I remember years ago, it's Brother Johnson. Remember years ago, a preacher that came and preached in my church and stood behind the pulpit that the Lord had entrusted me with. And he made this statement. It took me a while to figure it out. He said this. He said, Calvary doesn't make God love me. Calvary is proof God loves me. Took me a while to put that all together. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he loved me and he loved you with everlasting love. See, we have a tendency to judge people based on how we feel about them. Amen? And that's why sometimes a relationship that has been united in marriage ends in divorce. And these words are said, I just don't love you anymore. Can I say this tonight? You ain't never going to hear that from him. Hey, so you don't know what I've done. Hey, can I just remind you, he does. He knows everything you've ever done. He knows everything you've ever thought. He knows everything you've ever contemplated. Amen. And yet he said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Can I just tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, he really does care. He cares about you. He cares about your burdens. Amen. Oh, listen, can I say tonight, you need to send your worry to God. Let me say quickly, and I'll work through verse 8 fast. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Can I say this? We need to strengthen our walk with God. You see, this Bible right here is the means by which God speaks to us. He uses his word. He uses his servants. Amen. He sometimes uses fellow Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say this? That word, be sober, talks about being alert. Amen. Not having your senses dulled. Amen. That's exactly what alcohol and drugs does. It dulls your senses. Amen. Doesn't make your problems go away. It just dulls your senses for a while where you can't feel the pain that you're going through. But ladies and gentlemen, can I say this? God tells us to do just exactly the opposite. He said, be sober, be alert, pay attention, hey, and be aggressive. Be vigilant. Why? Because we've got an adversary. You understand? You've got somebody that is hunting you. I had the occasion to take a missions trip to the country of Africa back in 2006. Brother Gabbard, we flew into the capital of Kenya, the city of Nairobi, and held gospel campaigns, and we saw a bunch of people saved. And one afternoon after one of the campaigns we had, we got in a vehicle that was driven by Jehu's kin. You have to know your Bible. The characteristic of Jehu was that he drove his chariot furiously. And I'm telling you, this guy was direct kin. Blood kin to Jehu. Listen, I don't get scared in a vehicle, but they don't make African vehicles for my size Americans. So I'm sitting in the front seat of one of those little Nissan vans where you are actually in front of the front tires, where if something bad happens, I'm going to be the first one to the scene of the accident.
If there's going to be an airbag, it's going to be named Phil Skipper. And I'm a nervous wreck, man. I mean, he is driving. We lost the brakes as we were going into an African game. I learned something, gentlemen. I thought I knew everything there was to know automotively. I learned you can make brake fluid out of a bar of soap and a bottle of water. I'm telling you, craziest thing I ever saw in my life, Brother Phil. We're in that African game preserve, and he's already beat this Nissan van, Brother Jeff, half to death. And while we're in this African game preserve, it's one of these, you know, self-guided tours. Oh, it ain't like Busch Gardens. No. It's not like the drive-through zoo where everything's behind a wall or a cage or bars. Oh, no. Oh, they're all right out there in the open. We're driving along, and all of a sudden, sis, passenger side front wheel, instead of being straight with the driver's side front wheel, does this. Now, for the uninitiated, that is not a good thing. You can't go very far when one wheel's like this and one wheel's like that. So we stopped. I'm thinking, you know, I'm a mechanically minded guy. We figured out what had happened was the nut that held the ball joint to the tie rod, or the tie rod into the tie rod, had come off. So I'm thinking, man, you know, as rough as this road has been, couldn't have come off very far down the road. So I get off and I get out of the van. I start walking down the road. I'm looking for a tie rod nut. Walking down the road, I'm probably quarter mile, third of a mile away from the vehicle. Happen to look at the distance, the sun is setting behind Mount Kilimanjaro. All of a sudden it dawned on me, we are not in a gated community. Dawned on me, they get hungry about this time. This may come as a shock to you. I don't run. Amen. If you are with me and a lion's chasing, all I got to do is outrun you. And if I got a weapon, I'm going to make sure that's not going to happen. Amen. I'm going to make sure I outrun you. I walk as fast as I can, brother, back to that van. All the natives, they are staying right there. They're smart. So I thought I was a smart one. I'm going to find this tie rod nut. I walk back to the van, and I hear them talking amongst themselves, and I hear this word keep repeating itself, Simba. I'm thinking, I've heard that word before, Simba. Where have I heard Simba before? And then all of a sudden, So you watch Lion King as many times as our kids have watched Lion King. All of a sudden it dawned on me, Jeff. Hey, man, if anything's going to get eaten out there, hey, all that wildlife had determined, amen, that Golden Corral had showed up in their game preserve. It was going to be an unlimited all-you-can-eat buffet. I'm just saying, y'all, listen. Hey, we've got an adversary. I was talking to those natives, and this is where I was driving with the whole story. They said that the thing about a lion is it stalks its prey. It gets close enough that you don't even know it's there. But what it does right before it pounces is it roars so loud that it terrifies you where you don't even move. And I read that verse again, Brother Phil Gabbard. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Look at verse number 9 quickly. The Bible said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's our armor, faith. Amen. I'm glad he gave us something to have victory over the adversary. I won't take time to give you the third point. It really doesn't, it's not that important in the big picture of things, but can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? We've got a God that cares for you. He really does. He cares so much that he sent the very best he had. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be our sacrifice. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes tonight.
I know Brother Holt has given some instruction as far as what to do. Those people that need to do that are headed this way. But I want to ask you tonight, in the quietness and the stillness of this moment, how many of you just be honest and say, Brother Phil, man, I'm loaded down with some care right now. My mind is so troubled and my heart is so heavy. I don't know what to do to fix it. I don't know what to do to make it any better. But you'd say, preacher, tonight there's something in my life that has really burdened me down, caused me to worry. You'd say, preacher, I'd just like to ask you to pray for me. Would you just lift your hand up and let me see it tonight? There's hands all over this room. I prayed for every name on those pieces of paper that I was given last night. Prayed for them once this morning. I prayed for them once again this afternoon just before I came over to the church house. Maybe part of your care is listed on that piece of paper. Could I ask you to do something that might be a little unusual for you, but I don't think it would be wrong at all. In fact, I think it'd be absolutely the right thing to do. Could I ask you to leave your seat with that burden, that care, and come down here and kneel at an altar and cast that care on Him? Now, you might have to do it 3 or 4 times before you really get rid of it. But He said, casting all our care upon Him, for He careth. Some have already come. You don't need to wait till we stand. If you need to come, God spoke to your heart, you just come right now. Just leave your seat. Come right now. Find your place at an altar. You stay here until you've got some things squared away with the Lord. I want tonight. I can't see hearts. I don't know the spiritual condition of anybody in this room. Don't even really know myself, although I think I might. I wonder if there might be somebody here tonight who'd say, Brother Phil, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. And I'm concerned enough about that that I'd ask you to pray for me. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to send somebody to where you are seated. I just want to know that God spoke to your heart and you're concerned about your spiritual condition. And you're concerned enough that you'd ask somebody to pray. You'd say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now that heaven would be my home. But I'm concerned about that. Just slip your hand up and let me see it tonight. Anybody at all? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me tonight. Pray for me. Anybody else? I'm looking. Just slip it up, and all I'll do is say thank you and God bless you. Father, I'm grateful that, God, we can cast our care upon you. Lord, there are many that have come. No doubt others need to yet come. God, burdens and cares that are causing us to lay awake at night, causing us to lose sleep, lose our appetite. God, maybe there's somebody here who's tried those solvents. Well, they need to try the one who's the repairer of the bridge. Father, would you bless now as we have the opportunity to respond to what we've heard. In Jesus' name, let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you need to come tonight, this altar's open. Don't need to be embarrassed about that. Listen, hey, that's why we come to church. We come to church to get some help.